Did the United States bomb a girls' elementary school in southern Iran on the first day of the war and kill 175 people?
Based on what I've seen, that was done by Iran.
Is that true, Mr. Hegseth? It was Iran who did that?
We're certainly investigating.
Still investigating.
But the only side that targets civilians is Iran.
We think it was done by Iran. Because they're very inaccurate, as you know, with their munitions. They have no accuracy whatsoever. It was done by Iran.
So let's think about what has happened. Let's list it out. So we took out the Iranian regime leader, the Ayatollah Khomeini, and then 40 of the top leaders. We degraded their military. You can see we've been laying that out all day, all morning. Because they've decided to attack their neighbors, and we've kind of unified them behind us, so that's kind of worked in our favor to some degree. We've outed fake allies, Spain, England, right? Why should we ever help them again? This is a way to reveal that. We talked a little bit about the insurance situation for ships coming across the Straits of Hormuz. So there's that angle as well, which is very interesting. So to me, this already looks like victory. And so I say, let's declare victory very quickly.
This is my video update on this Sunday afternoon, March the 8th, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the war in Iran. The war in the Middle East, which is entering an escalatory spiral. We have now had strikes on desalination plants. The U.S. and Israel, they bombed a desalination facility in Iran. And this morning, Iran, they retaliated by hitting a desalination facility in Bahrain. So we're going to have an oil crisis, an energy, a gas crisis, and we are now moving towards a water crisis. Now, Iran has water issues. They have problems with water. But the entire region has big time problems with water, and the Gulf countries as well as Israel, they rely heavily on desalination facilities. 70-80% of the water from the GCC countries in Israel is from desalination. So this is a very alarming escalation. The U.S. and Israel, they also launched strikes hitting Iranian oil depots. So that also happened, another escalation. And Iran retaliated by hitting an oil depot in Haifa. So Arachi, he posted on X, the U.S. committed a blatant and desperate crime by attacking a freshwater desalination plant in Qassam Island. Water supply in 30 villages has been impacted. Attacking Iran's infrastructure is a dangerous move with grave consequences. The U.S. set this precedent, not Iran. Bad precedent. Very, very bad precedent to set. And my understanding of these facilities is that they are very easy to destroy. Not difficult at all to demolish these facilities. It's not going to take much to push the region into a very catastrophic water situation. So Ali Larijani, he gave an interview yesterday. He is the national security leader for Iran. He's actually the person that many people believe is running Iran at the moment, one of the top leaders of Iran. And he said in an interview that the Strait of Hormuz, it has not been closed. It has closed in a natural way. We have not closed the Strait of Hormuz. ships just don't really want to pass. It's closed in a natural way. That was his quote. Ships don't want to pass. It's closed in a natural way. Okay. That's what he said about that. He also talked about, or he claimed that American soldiers have been captured, and the U.S. government is saying nothing about it. Can't confirm that. This is what Larijani claimed in this interview. And he also said that there are two countries in the region that so far have not allowed their territory to be used to stage attacks against Iran. He did not mention those countries by name. He said that he doubts that they will remain true to their commitment to not allow their territory to be used by the United States or Israel to launch strikes into Iran. But as long as they do not allow their territory to be used, then Iran is not going to strike at them. It is believed that those two countries are Turkey and Azerbaijan. Now, Trump, he gave an interview on Air Force One. And of course, the main topic of discussion was the war in Iran. So the reporters who were with him on Air Force One asked him all kinds of questions on Iran and what is happening there. And Trump's answers to these questions from reporters was quite disturbing. So Trump was asked about the strikes at a desalination plant, because this is a massive and dangerous escalation. And his response to the reporter's question was to talk about Iran and the horrific things that they do to babies and to women. I'm not even going to read you Trump's response to a reporter, though you will see it up on your screen right now, so you can read what Trump said to this reporter when asked about striking the desalination plants. A very shocking and disturbing reply from the U.S. president. If this is the propaganda that he's being fed, or if this is what he believes, then we've got big problems in the world. A reporter asked him, "Do you want to participate in the selection of the next leader of Iran?" Trump said yes. Yes, he does want to pick the next leader of Iran. He was asked if he wants to divide Iran into several states. A reporter asked, "Do you think the map of Iran will look the same after this conflict?" And Trump said, "I can't tell you that. Probably not." He was asked about the bombing of the elementary school in Minab, and a bombing which killed 170 plus elementary schoolgirls. And Trump said, "Based on what I've seen, that was done by Iran." And then a reporter asked Pete Hegseth, is that your assessment as well? Is that true, Secretary Hegseth?" And Hegseth said, "The only side that targets civilians is Iran." Notice Hegseth's answer. "The only side that targets civilians is Iran." The question was, did the United States bomb a girls' elementary school? So Hegseth obviously dodged the question. Trump didn't dodge the question, but he said, "Based on what I've seen." So he adds that qualifier in there. Trump believes that Iran has surrendered, based on the statement from Pezeshkian, which I talked about on my video update yesterday. Trump actually believes that this was a surrender by Iran. They suddenly started apologizing to the Middle Eastern states. "You can mark that down as a victory for us and for the Middle Eastern states that are really friends of ours. I guess they're not going to be shooting at them anymore. They apologized. That's a surrender right there. I call it a surrender." Okay, if you call it a surrender, then call it a surrender, call it a victory, U.S. President Trump, and leave and end this conflict, this war, if that's what you're going with. But that's not what he's going with, because we have another aircraft carrier group, strike group, heading into the region. The Poppy Bush, that's going to be in the region. And you have the Ford, which is almost in position, or actually may be in the region and in position. So you have the Lincoln, the Ford, and the Poppy Bush. And Trump is declaring some sort of victory. Iran has surrendered. We're victorious. And he also told reporters that everything's been wiped out. He said their Navy's been wiped out, their Air Force has been wiped out, their leadership has been wiped out, their Army has been wiped out. He said it's all been decimated. If it has all been decimated, then why are we still seeing missile strikes from Iran in Bahrain, in UAE, in Israel, all over the region? Iran is launching missiles and drones. If their military has been decimated, why are we seeing this? And if their leadership has been decimated, because Trump once again said that their leadership has been decimated, not only the first tier of leaders, but the second tier of leaders and the third tier of leaders. He doesn't even know who to pick anymore as the leader for Iran, because they've all been decimated. Who he was going to pick from the first tier of leaders, they're gone, he said. The second tier of leaders that he was looking at to pick the new leader for Iran, they're gone. And he told reporters, I just don't even know who to pick now, because they've all been decimated. I just talked about a video of Larijani. Larijani is about as high as you can get. He just gave an interview. Pezeshkian gave his interview yesterday. So I'm not sure what Trump means when he talks about their entire leadership has been decimated, when I'm seeing interviews of top leadership. Top leaders are giving interviews. And we just got the news that the clerics have selected a new supreme leader. They have voted on a new supreme leader. We don't know who it is, but that has been finalized, and it will be announced either later today or tomorrow. But I believe the reports were that all the clerics were wiped out as well. Weren't they telling us that all the clerics were wiped out? They hit the building and they were all killed. And now we're getting the news that they have elected a new supreme leader. So let's go back to some more things that Trump said on Air Force One, as well as Witkoff. Witkoff was also talking to the media, or at least answered one question from the media about Russia's involvement in the war. And Witkoff said, "We've warned Russia not to provide Iran with any targeting information or other types of assistance." When did you issue that warning, Witkoff? Did you call up Putin the other day and issue that warning? Did you tell Dmitriev, Lavrov, Medvedev? When was this warning issued? Who was it issued to? How was it issued? Did you make the call personally, Steve, or was it someone else in your office? Do you even have an office? Witkoff and Kushner, do they even have an office? Do they have a department? What exactly is their position in all of this? But no one knows. No one has any idea. Witkoff's an envoy, and Kushner is the son-in-law that is brokering peace agreements or pretending to mediate peace agreements in Gaza, in Ukraine, and in Iran. And we see where Kushner's services have gotten us, have taken us. So Trump was also asked about ground troops into Iran. "I don't even want to talk about it. I don't think it's an appropriate question, and I'm not going to answer it. Could there be a very good reason? There would have to be a very good reason. If we ever did that, they would be so decimated that they wouldn't be able to fight at the ground level." He means Iran's military. They would have to be so decimated that they wouldn't even be able to fight. And that would be when ground troops would be sent into Iran. Trump has also said that he's not going to go with the Kurd option, the Kurdish option. He was asked about that as well. And he said that he doesn't want to make the war any more complicated. That is why he is not going to recruit the Kurds to lead a ground invasion. Axios put out an article with the title, Under Threat, Iraqi Kurds Resist Pressure to Join Iran War. Interesting title from Axios. Trump is making it out as if he's the one that decided not to go with the Kurds, but just going off of the title from Axios and the article, when you read the article from Axios, but just the title alone makes it appear as if it was the Kurds that told Trump, no, we don't want to get involved in this. Reports are that that Turkey put pressure on the Kurds and on everybody not to involve the Kurds into this war. Obviously, for Turkey, Kurdish involvement in this war would be very problematic. The Kurds establishing any kind of state or getting a hold of territory and potentially establishing a state would be existential for Turkey. That's the way they view it. So the reports are that Turkey pretty much said, no way. Don't you do it, Trump. Don't you do it, Kurds. That would be one way to draw Turkey into this conflict, that's for sure, to get the Kurds involved. But the report also claims that the Kurds saw this as pretty much a suicide mission. This was not going to be a successful operation. So they resisted the pressure. Trump says he decided he's not going to go with the Kurds. But it looks like the Kurds took a look at the situation and said, no way. It's bad all around. This would be a bad idea all the way around. So Axios also put out an article talking about briefings that took place between the Trump administration and Congress. Rubio present at these briefings. And they discussed two issues. Issue number one was ground troops, but not an invasion. A special operation where the United States would send special forces into Iran, maybe even with scientists, and the goal would be to locate the enriched uranium, the 60% enriched uranium, and to extract that uranium. And the article talks about how they have no idea where the uranium is located, but they're thinking about putting together some sort of operation to find that uranium and to get that uranium out of Iran, to secure it and to remove it. And another operation that they are discussing, according to Axios, is to capture the Karg Island. This is an island right off the coast of Iran, very, very close to the shores of Iran, which is used to export oil. 90% of Iran's crude oil exports take place from facilities on this island, the Karg Island. So taking this island, that's another operation that they're thinking about, capturing this island, because it's totally not about the oil. It's about the protesters, or it's about the supreme leader, or it's about democracy or freedom, or the protesters, or uranium, or ballistic missiles. But it's not about the oil, even though they're putting together plans to take hold of an island where the oil is exported from. The Karg Island. So that would be a crazy operation, huh? To put American troops on this island. That would end up really bad. So that's Axios' reporting on what's going on in the war in the war in Iran. So many wars from the peace president. Saudi Arabia has issued a warning to Iran not to attack the kingdom if the kingdom is attacked or continues to be attacked, even though there are claims that some of the attacks were false flags. But Saudi Arabia said they will enter the conflict. The problem is that if Saudi Arabia enters the conflict, then you know who else enters the conflict. The Houthis. That's another big escalation waiting to happen. So let's talk about a little bit about Project Ukraine. Kind of related to Project Ukraine, because it has to deal with sanctioned Russian oil, related to the war in Iran, but also connected to Project Ukraine, because we have Scott Bessent saying that not only is the United States going to grant permission to India to purchase Russian oil because of the very bad situation with oil that is a result of Trump's full-scale unprovoked war, but he is now saying that sanctions may be lifted on all Russian oil that is currently being exported or at sea or sitting with the shadow fleet, with the tanker shadow fleet. The shadow fleet, not insured by Lloyd's. Many, many ships now are not insured by Lloyd's. The shadow fleet has grown quite a lot, and a lot of those ships are located in and around the Strait of Hormuz. So that shadow fleet has really grown over the past week. We are on day nine. We're on day nine of the war in Iran. And the energy, the oil crisis is coming. It is coming. Storage facilities are going to be full. Gas facilities are being shut down. Now we're going after the water. They're going after the water. Everyone's going after the desalination plants now. This is a big, big freaking catastrophe. We're going to see an energy financial meltdown if this thing does not get sorted out soon. I don't see how it's going to get sorted out. So that was Saudi Arabia's warning. That is Scott Bessent's statement. Release the Russian oil. It's going to be temporary, though, Bessent said. It's just going to be temporary, just until the war ends. Trump is already declaring victory, so. Has the war ended? Nope, it hasn't, but he's declaring victory. We also have the attack on a U.S. embassy in Norway. This is an interesting story. Norway, where the Nobel Peace Prize is given out, huh? The Nobel Peace Prize that went to Machado, and then she gave it to Trump, and then the Nobel Peace Prize Committee said, no, 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 you cannot give peace prizes to other people. And Trump was very upset with the Nobel Peace Prize snub. But the embassy was attacked in Norway. The U.S. embassy was attacked in Norway. Now, why would a lot of analysts are saying this was Iran? Some sort of group connected to Iran that is now taking the conflict into Europe. But why would Iran go after Norway when Norway has actually condemned this war? I think that kind of tells you what might be going on here. Maybe a false flag, maybe not. So let's do a clown world and we can wrap up today's video. Yes, there are people swimming, even though it's not so warm today, but probably the best time to swim, probably the healthiest time to swim in the cold water. So let's do some clown worlds. Can wrap this video up. Let's start off with a Labour MP who is also connected to the Ministry of Defence, part of the Ministry of Defence. His name is Luke Pollard. And Labour MP Luke Pollard, he shared a video of a munitions factory in Ukraine. And this was posted by the Ministry of Defense on their X account. I believe it has since been removed because Mr. Pollard, he basically exposed the location and the position of this munitions facility. Not smart. Not smart at all. Where does the UK find these people? We are proud to reveal our repair facilities in Ukraine. 4 are operational and a 5th planned. Here, UK engineers work alongside Ukrainian colleagues around the clock to get battle-damaged armored vehicles back to the front line faster. Luke Pollard visited this week. Yeah, so this facility can now be geolocated. He took way too many images, too much video of this facility, and now it's in danger of being wiped away. Not the brightest of Labour MPs, and that says a lot. That says a lot. So let's talk about the Fresh Prince of Langley, Reza Pahlavi, who gave an interview to Fox News. Of course, who else is he going to give an interview to? Mr. Pahlavi. Fox News is running a lot of the propaganda for the Trump administration during this time of war. And Pahlavi said, in the first 10 to 15 years, Iran's economy could generate over $1 trillion worth of revenue for the U.S. And he's talking about himself coming to power, the regime change happening, and Reza Pahlavi being crowned king and emperor of Iran. And his promise is 10 to 15 trillion to the United States. That's his promise. Win this war, remove the regime, put me in as leader, and the payday is going to be big. It's going to be very big. $10 to $15 trillion. Come on, Trump. Come on, Trump. I can deliver to you $10 to $15 trillion. Come on. What an interesting palm tree? Tree? Interesting. So that's Pahlavi making a clown of himself. He got pranked by Vauban and Lexus, and we saw how smart Pahlavi is. He actually believed that he was speaking to a German official via video, via Zoom. And he was excited about Germany entering the war. Take away their scripts, and they're not too bright, these globalists. So we'll end today's video with a clown world courtesy of none other than Stunning and Brave. Who else is going to be ending this video? Stunning and Brave, a couple of days ago, she was giving a speech about, take a guess, take a wild guess. Nope, not Alensky. The other guy, Churchill. She was giving a speech about Churchill, a Churchill lecture. A rules-based global order in an era of power politics. She posted on X, "We stand before an opportunity. Europe can step into the global stage united and strong, or resign ourselves to the sidelines." Paraphrasing Winston Churchill in June 1940, "This may not be Europe's finest hour, but it is Europe's hour of decision." My remarks at the Churchill lecture in Zurich. Ah, that Churchill. That Churchill. Everything's about Churchill. Everything is Churchill. History begins with Churchill. History begins with Churchill. I wonder what school was like for all of these globalists. that went to the Klaus Schwab School of future global leaders, right? You know, that school that Klaus Schwab has. What kind of classes did they take? What was their schedule like? Kaya Kallas is there with Macron, and Macron asks, Kaya, what do you have, first period? I've got physics, as discussed by Winston Churchill. Emmanuel, what do you have, first period? I've got the history of Winston Churchill. Hey, Justin, yes? What class do you have, third period? I've got gymnastics, according to Winston Churchill. It's just all Winston Churchill. Everything is Winston Churchill. It's all they know. Trudeau. Olaf, are we going to sit next to each other, Olaf? Trudeau, you idiot. I'm not invited to this school. I failed to get in. Anyway, all right. That's the video. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on Rumble. We are on Telegram and X. Also go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch, and check us out on Substack. I will see everyone tomorrow. I think this is the Amethyst Hotel. It's a big hotel, popular hotel. 5-star hotel, I believe. Okay, I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.